Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the bidder webcast for the November 2023 auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. My name is Katie Orlandi, and presenting with me today is Rachel Northcutt and Matt Pettit. We are from NERA Economic Consulting, and we serve as the auction manager for the AEP Ohio's CBP. So in today's presentation, we're going to provide an overview of the competitive bidding process, details on the qualification and auction process, and then we'll also cover information that's specific to this auction, including the product available, and we'll go through the calendar with deadlines. So all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise, but you can ask written questions throughout the presentation. If you want to ask a question, you'll locate the Q&A panel on the right-hand side of your screen and type in your question and hit enter to submit it to the panelists. Also, if you experience any technical difficulties during the presentation, you can use the Q&A panel to also let us know about that, and someone will be in touch with you. Important to note that this presentation, as well as the questions and answers, will be posted to the CBP website later today, no later than tomorrow. So I'm going to start with a disclaimer that any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. The governing documents include orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio in the cases that are provided here in the first bullet on this slide. Other governing documents include the CBP rules, which are the bidding rules for the auctions, the Master Standard Service Offer, or SSO, supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, and the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. So these documents were all posted to the CBP website, aepohiocbp.com, yesterday. So as I mentioned, NERA Economic Consulting serves as the auction manager for the auctions under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. Our role is to be the single point of contact with bidders. So this means that all questions from potential bidders must be referred to us. NERA ensures that the CBP rules approved by the commission are followed and that bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We also administer the auction and submit a report on the results to the commission. So the agenda for today's presentation is as follows. In the first part of the presentation, I'm going to provide an overview of the regulatory background and the auctions generally. I'll provide a description of the product design and the contract as well. I'll then pass the presentation to Matt Pettit, and he's going to continue with an overview of the CBP website and the application process details, including the requirements in order to qualify. Next, Rachel Northcutt will continue the presentation with information regarding bids and bidding in the auction, and then we can take questions as time permits at the end. So the upcoming auction will be held on November 28th. And please note that this auction is scheduled a little later than the typical timelines for the fall auction, which is normally held in early November in recent years. So this slide provides the regulatory background applicable to this November auction. On November 6, 2023, AEP Ohio filed an application seeking to implement its 5th electric security plan, that's ESP5, for a period to commence on June 1, 2024. This proceeding is ongoing, and notably, a joint stipulation and recommendation has been filed in this proceeding on September 6th. On September 15, 2023, AEP Ohio filed for a motion for interim relief to conduct this November 2023 auction consistent with the competitive bidding process approved in their ESP4. And on September 20th, the commission granted this motion. So the documents governing this auction, the rules, the contract, are the documents applicable to ESP4 and the last 12 auctions. Specifically, this November 2023 auction seeks to procure 50 tranches of a 12-month product with a supply period of June 1, 2024 through May 31st, 2025. So this slide provides the results of the previous auction. So in the prior auction held in March 2023, a 12-month product was available for a supply period beginning June 1, 2023. There were 8 registered bidders, and the range for the starting price or round one price was between $110 and $145 per megawatt hour. The 55 tranches available were procured at the auction at a clearing price of $88.55, and the commission accepted the results on March 8, 2023. So the tranches available are load following slice of system full requirements tranches. Each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, excluding PIP customers, who are the customers on AEP Ohio's percentage of income payment plan. The delivery point is the P node that is provided here on that slide. And lastly, importantly, SSO suppliers or winners in the auction assume the responsibility as the load serving entity in PJM, including the responsibility for scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. So as I mentioned, the load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches. The tranche target or the number of available tranches in this auction is 50. Each tranche represents 1% of the load of SSO customers. And that means that a supplier that serves a single tranche of the product available in this auction will provide all necessary services to meet the needs of 1% of the load of SSO customers for 12 months beginning on June 1, 2024. There's a load cap of 40 tranches in the auction, and this is the limit on the number of tranches that a supplier can bid on and win in the auction. The format for the auction is a clock auction. So in this November auction, there will be multiple tranches available for a single term or single product. There are multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price announced by the auction manager. And from one round to the next, the auction continues and the price will decrease or tick down if there is excess supply, which is when suppliers bid to supply more tranches than the number of tranches that are available. The auction will close when the number of tranches bid is equal to or less than the number of tranches that are being procured. Notably, there's no sealed bid round. Instead, bidders supply exit prices as they withdraw their tranches. At the end of the auction, the auction will establish a single clearing price that will be applicable to all tranches and to all winning suppliers. Skip the slide. So we provide on this slide the PLC in megawatts for SSO customers, excluding PIP customers. This PLC figure is based on the 5 highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM. The number is 2,049 megawatts. Below that figure, we provide for reference and informational purposes only the megawatt measure for a tranche. And we note that the figure is for reference and informational purposes only because the amount of actual quantity to be delivered will depend on many factors during the delivery term, including migration of SSO customers. Suppliers are paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term times a seasonal factor, and the seasonal factor at this time is expected to be 1. So this slide lays out the key events over the next 2 months. The application process is in 2 parts. So first, applicants will submit the part 1 application with their qualification materials beginning next Wednesday, October 11th. This is when the part 1 form will become available. The Part 1 application must be submitted by noon on the Part 1 date on October 23rd. Applicants that become qualified bidders pursuant to a successful Part 1 application will be notified that they can submit a Part 2 application on the Part 1 notification date on October 26th. Then the following day, applicants can begin submitting the Part 2 application materials, including posting pre-bid security, and the Part 2 application is due by November 8th. So bidders are notified whether they are registered bidders eligible to participate in the auction by the Part 2 notification date on November 15th. By that date, registered bidders will also receive a bidder manual to prepare for the auction. Applicants will have an opportunity to practice using the auction software in a trial auction held the following day on November 16th. We're also going to provide the round one price on that date. So this means that bidders will have all the information they need to participate in the auction prior to the week of Thanksgiving. Then on Tuesday after Thanksgiving on November 28th, that's when the auction will be held. We're going to make several announcements throughout the process, including announcing the minimum and maximum starting prices by October 11th. And we'll provide any necessary update to the seasonal factors and megawatt measure by October 27th. So as I mentioned, the application process is in two parts, and both parts will be completed entirely online. Applicants submit the Part 1 and Part 2 application materials through online forms. With the Part 1 application, the materials provided include contact information and company information for the bidder and supporting documents, including financial information. Applicants are also required to upload what we call inserts. So inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format for you to complete. And Matt's going to go into the details of the required inserts in the next part of this presentation. The Part 2 application materials include providing an indicative offer at the minimum and maximum starting prices, uploading more inserts, and providing either a pre-bid letter of credit or cash in an amount that supports the indicative offer. And again, we'll dive into the details in Part 3 of this presentation. But notably, no hard copy versions of any documents are required. Again, the process is entirely online. Bidders are subject to load caps. First, a bidder cannot bid or win more than 80% of the tranches available at the start of the auction. And second, the amount a bidder can bid and win in a given auction could be further reduced to the credit-based tranche cap, depending on credit ratings of bidder or the guarantor. The credit-based tranche caps have been increased for this November 2023 auction and are provided in the table on this slide. So the auction results are contingent on final commission approval. The auction manager will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the day after the auction closes, and the commission will issue a decision within 2 days of auction close. If the commission does not act within this window, then the auction results are deemed accepted. Notably, the commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and the names of winning bidders from the auction. Within 3 days of the commission's acceptance of the results, the master SSO supply agreement will be fully executed and winning bidders fulfill creditworthiness requirements. So that completes the overview section. Before I turn the presentation to Matt, I'm going to cover two slides here in this Part 2 with some detail on the product design and the contract, including the credit requirements. So SSO suppliers or winners in the auction, like I mentioned, assume all responsibilities of a load serving entity in PJM for the percentage of the load they serve and are responsible for providing full requirements service, including energy, capacity, and ancillary services to SSO customers, which again excludes PIP customers. SSO suppliers bear all costs that are associated with this responsibility. Full requirements service and the LSD obligations of SSO suppliers are defined in the master SSO supply agreement. In particular, you could see attachment F of the agreement for a sample PGM invoice with each billing line item and an indication of whether it is the responsibility of the SSO supplier or of AAP Ohio. There are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those requirements are two distinct unsecured credit lines that the SSO supplier or its guarantor may qualify for. The first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR, and that's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the agreement. And corresponding to the ICR requirement is an unsecured credit line called the independent credit threshold that can be used to meet the ICR. Whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for the independent credit threshold depends on criteria that is provided within the agreement. Creditworthiness evaluation is conducted in the Part 1 application process and then can provide some information regarding how the supplier or its guarantor would be treated in regards to credit under the contract. The second credit requirement is the mark-to-market exposure. That exposure is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date the auction is completed. To meet this second requirement, a supplier or guarantor can depend on a credit limit that might be granted to the supplier or guarantor based, again, on criteria provided within the agreement. So under the terms of the contract, a supplier can use a guarantee with a creditworthy guarantor. A supplier can also post a letter of credit. There's a form of guarantee and letter of credit that are provided as attachments to the master agreement and can be reviewed with the credit team. And a supplier, notably, can also meet any credit requirements by posting cash. So that completes the couple of slides on the master SSO supply agreement. I'm going to turn the presentation now over to Matt Pettit to continue with part 3.
Thank you, Katie. So again, in this section, I will provide an overview of the auction website. So the auction website can be found at aepohiocbp.com, and it is the central source of information related to the auction, where bidders can find posted announcements relating to the auction, a schedule with important dates for the current auction, auction documents, as well as data provided by AEP Ohio. Bidders can navigate the website by using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen, as shown here. And again, a link to the application website is available at the bottom of the navigation bar. By selecting the information tab, you'll display the link to access the documents page along with the links to the announcements and FAQs pages. So on the documents page, bidders can find the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, the pre-bid security documents, as well as the digital signatures guide. Also on this page are the illustrated versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 forms. And lastly, this webcast will be posted to the documents page, and we hope to make this available by tomorrow. Selecting the data room tab will bring you to the page with data, which is made available by AEP Ohio. And that data includes hourly energy data, customer account data, PLC and NSPL data, and monthly switching statistics. This data gets updated by the 20th of each month. And also available on the data page is government aggregation data, and this is updated less frequently and was last updated in March with data through February 2023. To contact us, you can select the Contact Us page of the website. Here, you can register to receive announcements regarding the current auction and any future auctions. You can also register to receive login credentials to access the qualification forms to participate in the auction. And lastly, you can ask a question by selecting the Ask a Question link or by emailing us at aep-cbp@nira.com. And all questions get submitted to the auction manager, and we aim to provide a response within 2 business days. So in this section, I'm going to discuss the application process and review some of the information the bidders will need to provide with their Part 1 and Part 2 online forms. So once your account is active, you can navigate to the online forms directly by going to aepohiocbp-application.com, or you can access the site through the auction website by clicking the link at the bottom of the navigation bar on the left-hand side of the screen that reads application website. If you are a new applicant and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your application, you should do that ahead of the Part 1 opening. You can register by going to aepohiocbp.com and clicking on the register for an application account link on the left-hand side of the screen under the Contact Us tab. Alternatively, you can send us an email to aep-cbp@nira.com with the contact information requested here. And the individual that registers for the account will receive an email with account activation instructions prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. So current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2021 or later, or an entity that registered for an account in 2021 or later. If you meet this criteria, even though you do not need to re-register, every account holder will need to activate their account to access the forms. So for a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2021 or later, the representative will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you are an account holder as of 2021 but have not qualified, that individual that registered for the account will receive this email with the activation link. The auction manager will send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders prior to the opening of the Part 1 window, and these will include screenshots for how to activate your account. First, as a reminder, the website to fill out the form is different from the AEP auction website. As part of the Part 1 form, the applicant will provide certain contact information, including information about the authorized representative, who will be the point of contact for correspondence between the auction manager and the applicant. The applicant will provide contact information for a legal representative, as well as designate any nominees to be included in the correspondence between the applicant and auction manager. Bidders will then be asked to provide information related to its status as a PJM member and to indicate whether it is currently a market buyer, market seller, and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. With the Part 1 application, bidders are required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules and the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement, and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders will also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying. And note that the additional information will be required for a foreign guarantor or a bidder relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. There is also a section in the Part 1 form where bidders may provide modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit, and bidders will be required to submit pre-bid security in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit with the Part 2 application. So these modifications would be your opportunity to propose changes to the standard form. Again, the pre-bid letter of credit is required to be sent as an electronic PDF by email to the auction manager at aep-cbp@nira.com. So please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit to see if you would like to propose modifications through the Part 1 window. An AEP will review any proposed modifications and a response will be provided indicating which changes will be acceptable and which are not. A preliminary list of acceptable modifications can be found on the documents page of the auction website. As part of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, you will be required to fill out inserts, which are documents that are submitted alongside the rest of the applications as separate Microsoft Word documents. All inserts can be found on the auction website at aepohiocbp.com on the documents page under the information tab on the left-hand side of the screen, All inserts for each of the applications are available in the correspondingly named zip files. As part of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, bidders will be required to upload the files that we refer to as inserts, and these inserts can be completed by either printing, signing, scanning, and uploading the insert to the online form, or by using a digital signature accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory. And digital signatures may be used in lieu of a notarization. If you do choose to use a digital signature, additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory includes a certification of completion from DocuSign, a final audit report from Adobe Sign, evidence that the digital signature has been certified using a document signing certificate, such as through Adobe Acrobat, or another documentation or information produced by another commercially available software that can be used to verify the identity of the signatory. A guide to providing digital signatures is available on the documents page of the CBP website. So this slide shows all of the Part 1 inserts and to whom they apply. Also included are the situations in which certain inserts are required and whether notarizations are needed to complete them. So the representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the certifications insert are required by all bidders for each auction. On the other hand, the PJM requirements insert and bidding agreements insert are only necessary in specific situations. And these are outlined in the illustrated Part 1 form. Again, many inserts will be required to be provided anew as part of completing the Part 1 application. An exception is that regarding the legal representative insert, returning bidders will be asked to indicate that the legal representative has not changed. If the bidder does successfully complete the Part 1 application, they will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager and will then be invited to submit a Part 2 application. With the Part 2 application, bidders will submit their indicative offer, which will need to be supported by the pre-bid security, either in the form of cash or an electronic pre-bid letter of credit, as well as make a number of additional certifications. Additionally, foreign entities will have a number of extra requirements to provide with the Part 2 application. So an indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches a bidder would be willing to bid at the minimum announced starting price and the maximum announced starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is the number on which the amount of pre-bid security the bidder must provide with its Part 2 application is based. And in turn, that number is then used as the maximum number of tranches a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction, and that will be referred to as the bidder's initial eligibility. Bidders will need to submit pre-bid security with the Part 2 application in the form of cash or pre-bid letter of credit, and the amount of pre-bid security is equal to $500,000 per tranche of the indicative offer at the maximum starting price. And as a reminder, additional pre-bid security is not required. Bidders must also make a number of certifications with their Part 2 applications, certifying to comply with the associations and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. As a reminder, for bidders electing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit, the pre-bid letter of credit may only be submitted by the issuing bank to the auction manager as an electronic PDF by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. Hard copy versions of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. The standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit allows for its electronic transmission. So again, please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit ahead of the Part 1 deadline so that you may propose changes to the standard form if you so choose. The last few requirements of the Part 2 application include bidders making additional certifications confirming any bids submitted in the auction are binding. And lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents that they provided as part of the Part 1 application. And note that these executed versions must include any modifications that were required by AEP Ohio. So just like the online Part 1 form, the online Part 2 form will require bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, while all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. And again, these inserts may be printed, signed, scanned, and uploaded to the online Part 2 form, or completed using a digital signature accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory, and then uploaded to the online form. So I'm now going to pass the presentation along to Rachel.
Thanks, Matt. I'll conclude today's presentation by providing an overview of the bidding process in the auction. So if a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 2 application, that bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager, and that bidder will be eligible to bid in the auction. As we discussed earlier, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. Each round in the auction is made up of 3 phases: the bidding phase, calculating, and reporting phase. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. Once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager then tabulates the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round, and bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. Note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. At the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. Now, if it's determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target. The specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time prior to the auction, but this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated, and the value of the target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price, or the round one price, is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction. A bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. And a reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part 2 form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility, or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from round to round. So a bidder choosing to bid less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. After the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will then tabulate the results of the round and calculate the next round's going price. Then this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase. This slide gives an example of the information provided to a bidder in the reporting phase. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. The actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction, minus the tranche target, will fall within the given range. In this example, the range reported to bidders is 106 to 110, which means that the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 106 or 110 or any value in between. Bidders will also have access to the results of their own bid, but as I said earlier, bidders will not have access to the results of any other bidder's bid. Information regarding a bidder's bid, identity, or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. Starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. Again, a bidder cannot bid more than its initial, or excuse me, than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. In round two, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. In round three and in subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. This is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. An exit price must be greater than the current round's going price, but below or equal to the previous round's going price. In the example here, a bidder is withdrawing one tranche. Where it was bidding on 16 tranches, it's now bidding on 15. The bidder submits an exit price of $98.12 per megawatt hour, which is above the going price of $95 per megawatt hour, but below the previous round's price of $100. If the auction continues on to round three, the bidder's eligibility will be 15 tranches. The auction will continue as long as there is excess supply. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target, or if the total number of tranches bid is less than the tranche target. The final price, or the auction clearing price, is determined in one of two ways. If the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is the going price in that final round. If the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. This slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is determined in the case where the total number of tranches bid in a round falls below the tranche target. Here you'll see the number in the number bid column that the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 52 to 47. So the auction will close. To fill the target of 50 tranches, we'll first take the 47 tranches bid at the round 12 going price. And here we're still short three tranches, so we will need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit prices submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain three tranches total to fill the target. We'll first select the two tranches with the lowest exit price of $75.47 from bidder A. And here, we're still short one tranche. We'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $75.85. We've now filled the target of 50 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $75.85. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C. All bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $75.85. Before wrapping up the presentation today, I'll provide just a few more reminders about the auction. First, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting bids using the auction software in a trial auction on November 16th. During the auction, if you're experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bids is to do so by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. The last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it is entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CBP rules and to get the bid in on time. For purposes of using the online auction software, please be sure that you're using any of the supported web browsers listed here and that you have a stable internet connection. And if you need to reach us, please contact the auction manager team by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And as a reminder, if you intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to this same email address. Now, this concludes the presentation portion of this webcast. To submit any questions, please locate the Q&A function on the right-hand side of your screen, select all panelists in the drop-down menu, type in your question, and hit enter to submit your question to the presenters.